Let me just read something to you before we take our seats. And this is taken from a book in the Bible called John. John chapter 8. Can you guess who wrote the book of John? John, that's right. Well done. Let me read you this story, and this will be the context for what we're going to be thinking through for the next 25 to 30 minutes together before we enjoy some coffee. It says this: "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came to him and sat down and taught them." Oh, how I would love to be one of those people. "The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?' This they said to test him, that they might have some charge against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, 'Let him without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.' And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground." I love it. Faced with opposition, Jesus doesn't even bother to look them in the eye. He's so confident in his truth. He's so confident in his name. He addresses them and goes back to something else. "But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him." Wow, imagine being that woman. "Jesus stood up and said to her, 'Woman, don't call a lady back like woman, like, hey woman, like, call her by name. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' Jesus said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more.'" Jesus, we want to thank you that you rescue us. Lord, it is because of your truth that you set us free. Lord, we're all like the woman in this story at times, where rightfully so, the verdict should be guilty, but somehow you swoop in and rescue us because your grace is enough. And Lord, today we rest in that, don't we, guys? We rest in that grace today, knowing that you don't condemn us, but you release us and set us free. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you. Why don't we give it up for the band for a great set? And as you take your seats, turn to someone and ask them, are you telling the truth? Are you telling the truth? Are you telling the truth? Today, the message I want to bring to you is very simple: that truth has a different perspective. Truth has a different perspective. We've been doing this series, started it last week. Steve Matthews spoke. Check it on the podcast. It is excellent stuff. It lays out such a great foundation for what we're going to be looking at through October and November. Today, I want to slightly build on that foundation, if I can, and just make the difference between what is true and what is truth. Because there's a difference between what is true and what is truth. Because truth has a different perspective. And in this story, this is a story about perspective. This is a story about people who were judging someone, who were brought into an ad hoc courtroom session, but suddenly Jesus saw a different perspective. And it is in that truth that set her free, not in what was true. How many know that you can have a different perspective on things? I went to a 3D movie with a few friends of mine once, and I was sat there, and they were like, "Wow, you know, you gave them stupid glasses, you know, the glasses that fall off your face, and all the cool kids take them home and wear them at school and think they're really cool." That was me. And I was sat there, and I just couldn't get it, because for me, it wasn't lined up. It wouldn't fit, but for everyone else, it was great, but from my perspective, it wasn't quite right. It's like the Titanic, which is a horrific incident, but bad for the humans, good for the lobsters in the kitchen, if you know what I mean. It's all about perspective. And by the way, I was on Friday night, me and my wife, Han, we were with Live Free on Friday night, and it was so good. Come on, give me a shout, Live Free. Where are you? These guys are fantastic. Live Free is our youth movement, our youth ministry in our church of 11s to 20-somethings when they eventually grow up and leave youth ministry and join a community group, you know, like pushing them out of the home. And it was great to be with those guys. Then I just want to say Kofi. Is Kofi in the room or is he knocking about? Okay, Kofi, Nader, Atalia is here. Nader, you're there. I think what these guys are doing is phenomenal in our youth ministry. You won't believe the truth that they're putting in our young people. And there will be a tipping point. I think you'll notice that there'll be a tipping point in the next few years. As you can see, an increasing sort of a population in our church community, over 500 now. You'll see in the next few years, as we continue to love people in our scattered places, as we continue to love, grow, and serve, not only here, but wherever we are, as we continue to create this Edge Campus, a resource for the town, you will see not only this room filled, but you will see a tipping point in the statistics in our town. You will see more young people come to faith than ever in the history of Wigan. You will see more marriages restored in the history of Wigan. You will see more mental health being dealt with because for some reason, Jesus just seems to be the answer, seems to be the way where there is no way. Can anybody give Jesus a clap for me? So there are two things. There is what is true and what is truth. My child wants a snack. And before he could speak a little bit properly, he used to say his S's through his nose, like, snack. You know what I mean? Like, snack, daddy, snack, like that. And I'm like, snack, son, snack, snack. And he wants a snack, but it's like 4 a.m. And I'm like, go back to sleep, son. You're 15. You should know how to sleep through. Come on, sleep through, snack. Because what is true is that he's hungry right then and there. But the truth is, he doesn't need a snack. He needs to go to sneep. So there's a difference between what is true and what is truth. What is true for you might not be the entire truth. Because we live from a point of reality, experiencing life in one way, but yet we are a part of something a lot bigger. You could be going through the greatest season in your life. You could just have a promotion going on right now. You might be celebrating one of your kids doing something great. I don't know. But yet on the other side of the room, someone's going through something horrific. But yet your experience of life is true, but it's not the whole truth. This is the beauty of church. And if you're not involved here or you haven't yet made a decision to be part of it, I challenge you to do that. Because there's no greater gift you can give yourself than good friends. Because they help you experience life in truth. So you might be sick, which is true. You might be sick, but the truth is this, is that God is a healer. I'm going to say that again just so it sinks in, so we walk away with at least something in our brains. The truth is you could be sick. But the truth is, God is a healer. And it's difficult because sometimes we've been praying for so long for something to change and shift, and it's just true in our lives now. This is the tension we deal with. Suddenly it's not a problem to fix, it's a tension to manage, and somehow we lose the hope everlasting. We lose the promise that God gave us. And even if you're not a believer in here, God has given you promises that you will be surprised about. That we can live in what is true and somehow let go of truth, that God is a healer. Wow, what a tension to live in, right? Where you're believing for something, which is the truth, but yet you're living in what is true. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be unpacking those things. How do you live in that paradox? How does that work and how do we get the most out of life? I was having a chat with a friend on the phone who's recently taken on a church, church leadership. And it's quite a challenging. I know this is like a niche role and job, whatever, but it's quite challenging to do that. And he was having a real bout of anxiety. It's like really messing him up inside. So he phoned me because I think I'm from the north. He's from the south. I think we're a lot more tougher. Like, you know, like winter's coming, you know. So it's like, wanted to chat. And he said, you know what, Ben, I don't want my feeling today to define the season that I'm in. I don't want the feeling today to define the season that I'm in. I think you would agree with me that emotions often aren't reality. Things are better than they are. Sometimes things are worse than they are. Instead of depending on our emotions, we need to use our emotions as an indication for where we're at, but we don't use that to base our life on. Instead, we go to the truth. There's a difference. Truth has a different perspective. We see in this story a woman who should have been stoned to death, which is horrific enough to even imagine, should have been stoned to death according to their laws. Jesus comes in and gives a totally different perspective. I want to show you two videos now. Man, I love Instagram. IGTV, I think it's called. Have you got it on your phone? Anybody got Instagram? Show me. Okay, great. You know, IGTV, and it gives you like random videos. Well, I saw some of these videos and they were great. It's brilliant. Show the first one because this is a cool little thing all about perspective. How cool is that? Did you get, they didn't explain everyone, but did you get some of it? Like, did you figure some of it out? It's so clever. It's perspective so important because what we see from one angle is true. Like, we are looking at something that's true on here, but yet it's not the whole truth. Because from a different perspective, you see what's really going on. Have a look at this second video. I just think it was, this is just cool. It's just me having some fun. I've got the microphone, so hey, get over it. Enjoy the video. Thanks.
But it turns out the magic really happens when you line it up just perfectly with the right perspective, which is what I want to show you today. And to do that, I need to go out to the studio and we need to find a rubber ducky.
I love videos like that because what they trick you into a false sense of reality, that what is true, what you're looking at. Because here's the deal. You might be feeling one way, but the truth might be something else. See, what's true is that you might have just failed the biggest you have ever failed in your entire life. But the truth is that there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You may be in a real tough situation in a relationship where you're not sure whether it's going to go this way or that way. And that's true because of what's happened. But the truth is that God is a God of reconciliation. And when we go to Him, He binds up every broken heart and heals every wound. That is the truth. What is true might be your margin, might be minus in your business. And you're not sure whether this year you're even going to make it to the next tax year because of what you've got to pay off. But I know that my God is a provider. I know that when I go to Him, He gives me everything I need for life and godliness. That's the truth. But it's difficult to live by the truth when we're experiencing something that's true. What is true can be difficult. What is true can be awkward. But truth has a different perspective. And when we watch those videos, we realize the power of perspective. So here's what I want us to do today. Just do one thing for me, okay? Just one thing, and then you can do whatever you want, okay? And I just want you to choose to do something. Choose the right perspective. Choose the right perspective. Not a perspective of what is true at one moment in time, but choose the perspective of truth. Steve Matthew last week did a brilliant job on the message, kind of laying out the groundwork for this. And he brought a great illustration, as well as many points. Fundamentally, he said that the measure of truth is always found in Jesus. Because from his point of view and mine, Jesus is the absolute truth. When you look in the Bible, which is what we kind of found our lives on, we see and it calls Jesus the truth. In fact, it calls Him the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is Jesus. And so whenever we are choosing a perspective, we have to line that perspective up with the truth. That is the only way to get the real picture. Okay, let's jump back in our story, shall we? Let's jump back in our story. We see this woman who We don't know whether she was coerced into it. You know, there was a trap. We know that the priests here were trying to sort of test Jesus with his understanding of law. And it seems to me that it's likely that she was either bullied into doing this or the man in the situation was bullied into revealing it, whatever. But for whatever reason, she finds herself there. Jesus doesn't respond with the typical answer. Because what is true is that she's done something wrong. And so is the man. And can I say, where's the man in this story? You know, can I get an amen, anybody? Come on. It's true that she did something wrong, but the truth is this. So has everyone else. So then who has the right to judge her? Verdict. Have you ever heard this word verdict before? You heard it? Come on with me, guys. Verdict, yeah? When does a verdict happen? Can anyone tell me? That's it, yeah, at the end of the trial. And usually the jury come together and make a decision. Has anybody ever done jury duty in here? Anybody? Okay, wow, okay. Every person I've ever asked, have you done jury sort of service? I said, you know, was it a great case? Was it a big one? He said, no, someone robbed a Coke can from Londis. I was like, ah, okay. Maybe it's not like the news reports or Netflix then. But the jury or the judge will walk forward and give his or her verdict. Now, what was Jesus's verdict on this woman? Does anybody know? She was guilty. Jesus' verdict was guilty. Whoa, hang on a minute. So, Jesus, you just said he forgave her and she walked away. Yeah, that's true. That's true. In fact, probably that's truth. But the reality is, she was guilty. She did something wrong. In fact, if you were to read this story, he doesn't even answer the question. Like, what should we do with her? Like, should we stone her? He doesn't actually give an answer. He deflects it to what is truth. And he says, if you've never done anything wrong, then you have the right to throw a stone at her. And I love the fact that Jesus is the only one. He's the only one that has never done anything wrong. And yet he still chose not to throw a stone. What does that mean for your story? What does that mean to you? If you were that woman, what would that mean to you? How would you feel in that moment where it's just you and Jesus is saying, I don't condemn you, but go, sin no more. Please don't do that again, but you're free. What does that mean? What is true is what she did. The truth was much bigger than that. Instead of tackling what is true, Jesus instead tackles what is truth. It's true that she did something wrong, but the truth is we've all been there like her. Verse 9 and 11. Stick it up, guys. Verse 9 to 11. It reads this. This is when Jesus drops the bombshell about, you know, if you've not sinned before, you can do it. Verse 9. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. Somehow it's the older ones that kind of get to wisdom first sometimes. And they knew that Jesus had scuppered the plants. And I love the sound of rocks and stones dropping in people's lives. I love that sound where suddenly you hear a pebble drop. Someone walks into our arena here and suddenly they're confronted with a message of grace and hope. And suddenly in their life, you hear stone after stone after stone, even stones that they want to throw at themselves. Because when you come to Jesus, he speaks truth. And every accuser, whether it's you or someone else, every deceiver, every liar, every thief, every enemy that stands against you cannot stand against Jesus. And suddenly you hear these stones dropping of past, of history, of loss, of guilt. And this person can walk away free. I love the sound. It's the sound of hope. It's the sound of truth in action. So when they heard it, they went away, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Oh my goodness. Verse 10, Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Like, where are they? Where are all these people? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. You're guilty, but I forgive you. Have you ever been guilty of something? I have. And have you ever received forgiveness for it? How good does that feel? I think we underestimate the power of mercy in our lives. There's a woman at work, and she walks in with a really bad attitude one morning. She's really snappy and rude to you, and you feel real upset and angry because you're like, hey, woman. No, I'm joking. Don't do that, okay? Because she will stone you, okay? Which camera are you in? Don't do that, okay? What's up, Beatrix? What's going on? You're in a massive mood. What's, I'm sick of it, you know. But what you don't realize is that she's a single mum. And both the kids have been up all night being sick. And after nursing them, she then drops them off at preschool and has to come to work full time. What is true is that she's been rude. But what is the truth is you need to give the girl a break. Because that's what mercy is. You end up on the road. Has anybody got road rage? Anybody got deep-seated issues about the past and let it all expressed on the road? Anybody? Yeah, is that you? Okay, great. Wonderful to have you all here. Thank you so much. Enjoy the ride out of the car park, can I say? The best part of everyone's Sunday. And you're on the road and you're driving along and suddenly there's a driver going so slow. I mean, if you were to ask my wife, that's me. Okay, put your hand up if you think that 30 miles an hour is a speed limit. Okay, put your hand up if you think 30 miles an hour is a speed minimum. Anybody? Okay, well, that's just wrong, okay? It's the speed limit for a reason, people. Now, you're driving along the road and there's a car in front of you going really, really slow. And you're getting irate and you're like, what's going on? I want to get there 2 seconds earlier than I wanted to. Beep, beep. Or you're revving your engine and suddenly you pass them and you notice a sweet old lady driving along. And she's right, have you seen these old women? They're amazing. And the seat, they're right up the front because the legs are so short, they can't reach the, so the things are right up on the edge and the steering wheel's here like this and they're driving like that. Going to Morrison's. And you're well angry at this fantastically wonderful old woman who's doing her best. All right, she's going 6 miles an hour. So what is true is she's going slow, but the truth is she's old. And we need to give her a little bit of mercy. I want to pray for you in just a minute. So I want the band to come up on stage. Because I want to pray and then we're going to finish with a little, as I call it, spiritual karaoke. And then we're going to enjoy the rest of our time together. So as the band are coming up, just to hit home that what is true to you today might not be the actual truth of what's going on. And it is in our perspective that changes reality. Because often what is true is happening in front of you or happening around you. But the truth seems to transcend time. I got a friend who was frustrated for a long time because this deal just wouldn't come through in his business for a long time. And he felt there was a point in time where he felt actually probably God didn't want it, but he believed it. And he was just really getting down about it. And then suddenly something happened at work where they had to change some personnel in some key staff for whatever reason. And then a couple of weeks after that, suddenly supplier came to him and said, we want to open this negotiation and we want to do a deal with you and have this product made. And my friend was kind of stood there thinking, for a long time, I thought it was true that, you know, what is true is just reality. When in fact, they would have never been able to even have the operational manpower or strength or competency to deal with this massive order if the right people weren't in the right places. I think sometimes we judge God by his timing. And I think God judges us by our character. And those two often meet heads because we want something now, because there's a microwavable culture. We want to swipe right. We want to get it now. We want the likes. We want the follows. But God is often not thinking about time. He's thinking about character, because he knows that if he can work on your character, that will produce perseverance. And if he can develop perseverance in you, he can develop faith in you. And if he can do that, he knows that you can handle what you are going to handle in the future. We judge God by his timing. He judges us by our character. Now, let me show you this. Verdict, this word verdict, is actually a Latin word, verdictum. But verdict means something deeply profound in the justice system. A verdict is so sacrosanct, it is so difficult to get a retrial once that verdict is written. Every trial and everything that leads up to that point in time, once that verdict is read, that is it. It is over. The word verdict means this: to come to the truth. So when the jury stands and gives their opinion, when the judge stands and after weighing up the evidence on the balance of probabilities, when the judge is working it all out and comes to a decision, he is not only reading his verdict, he is coming to the truth. John 8, 31 to 32 says this: "Then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him." This is after the story we've just read. "If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you're my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth." Can you see it? "And the truth, it'll free you. If you live my way, if you live my way, then you'll know the truth. And that truth, it'll free you." Pointing out the scripture Steve did last week in Matthew, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Verdict becomes ever present in the life of a believer. And even if you're not a believer in here, but you're saying, "There's something in this, and I think my heart's turning, Ben, as you're speaking, I'm starting to believe what you're saying," then I can tell you that today, there's a great verdict for your life. How do I know that? Because we can come to the truth, and the truth will set us free. The truth has a name. The truth has a name. Come on now. The truth has a name. Does anybody know his name? The truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. This woman caught in adultery, if she would have gone to the courts, if she would have gone to anyone else, they would have judged her on what's true. But thank God that they brought her in front of a man called Truth, who stood there and was the only one that would have the right to throw a stone, but he didn't. And instead, he wrote on the ground, and we don't know what he wrote. Some people think it's all sorts, but I would love to think that Jesus started to write down the sins of all the people that were wanting to throw stones at her, because that's true as well. So if you're saying she's true, this is true, she should die, then so should you, because he's God and he knows everything. So he's writing and he stands and he looks at her, and he could have judged her, and his verdict was different, because he said, "I don't condemn you either. So you can go and you can be set free. Go and live your life." Don't you want that for your life today? Don't you want to live in this new verdict where we not only realize what is true, but we can come to the truth? I am telling you now, in the moments in my life where I've had to tell the truth, it set me free. Even telling a friend, telling my wife, even simply telling the truth, it sets me free, because there's something in that. So I can try and mask this life. I can try and mask my issues and do and look perfect. And I can have deep stuff going on in me, turmoil, confusion, whatever that is, frustration, anger. And then I can do things for people, and I can post cute selfies on Instagram. "He just going to Mauritius with me, Nan." Snap. I can live this world where I'm projecting perfection, but it's not true. It's not true, and it's not the truth. Because when we live in this internal world where we're throwing stones at ourselves, when we live in that world and we come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, no one knows what's going on. No one, only half the people know my name. Only half the people know what's going on. But you know me and I want to know you, and you're the truth and you're going to set me free. And so today I'm not going to stand in my own strength. I'm not going to walk in my own light. But instead I'm going to go in the way, the truth and the life. And I'm going to follow that truth because I know you are the truth. I was at the back of the room praying for you before. I wasn't sure where this talk was going to go. Because what is true is I don't feel great right now. I've had a tummy bug in our house. But the truth is that it doesn't matter how good the speaker is or how good the music is. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. And he's already started a work in you. And I feel now all we need to do is respond. All we need to do is weigh up what we've heard, come to some decisions, and then bring it before God. I think that's all we need to do. And as I was just at the back and we were singing Waymaker, this new song the guys have written, actually, it's a great song. They've not really, it's a famous song from America. And as they were doing it, I really felt a sense in the room that many people had lost faith. Now, I want to widen that a little bit and say you may have lost faith in yourself, but there's definite disparagement in the room that I just want to call out and address. So it might be you've lost faith in yourself. It might be you've lost faith in something that you know was meant to be in your future. And I'm speaking to you whether you're a believer or not today, okay? Or whether you're 50-50, or whether you're from St. Helens, okay? This is for you too, all right? It may be something with your family, maybe something for your future, or maybe something with God. Like, I was looking around at some of our oldest sort of members in this church, and I was just marveling at the effect of faithfulness in your life. That if you decide to live by the truth, man, I see people set free all the time. And I think it's amazing when we see our older guys in here, not just our younger guys, because they've been believers for years, and somehow when things have been going on, they've been going back to the truth every time. And I just wondered to myself, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? How'd you create that perseverance and persistence in your life? But I felt there was a real distance for some of you in the room between what you know to be true right now to what is the actual truth of who God is. And in a minute, I want to pray for you, and I want you to respond. And God is going to reveal to you the truth of who he is. And you're going to feel it. You know, he's not going to break through the ceiling. He's going to do something more important than that, something more visceral than that. He's going to break into your heart. Some of you are going to feel it in your chest. Some of you are going to feel different and you can't explain it. That's often how I feel. And some of you, you will just pray a prayer in your mind and you will give something to Jesus. You will come to the truth. And suddenly that thought won't be as big of an issue anymore. And you'll wonder why. And that's because Jesus is just going to set you free. So why don't we stand to our feet, because I want to just pray for us and then we're going to sing together. Truth has a different perspective in your life. So you could be going through something which is true, but truth has a different perspective. And our responsibility is to choose a different perspective.